This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of In Focus, heard weekends on KTBB 97.5 FM and KRWR, the Team 92.1 FM. Join us each week as we interview those who help Tyler Longview residents make their lives better. And as always, you can reach out with your thoughts on the show and any topic you would like us to consider airing at ktbb.com/infocus. We want to hear from you. Reach out at ktbb.com/infocus. Today's guest is Mark Shaw. He's the engagement manager for Camp V Tyler. That URL is campvtyler.org. The phone number is 903-566-1010. And Mark, welcome.
Good morning.
It took me a minute to get that out this morning, but we're good to go.
Yeah. Camp V, what can I say? It's an acronym for Community Assisting Military Personnel and Veterans. Us military folk love our acronyms. That's Camp V.
This is true. This is true. It's beautiful out there. Why don't you tell us about the property to start?
Certainly. I've been there for a little over 3 years now. And I remember when I started, it was we had a couple of old buildings in the back and then one in the front or in the middle there. And now we have turned it into a highly functional veterans resource facility that literally is the hub for veteran resources and services. And basically, the one thing that I like to highlight about Camp V is that we are the only facility in the state of Texas now that has a veteran service officer headquarters on our campus. Usually it's on the bottom of some courthouse in the middle of a town. Not only do we have three excellent veteran service officers, most counties have one. They're even lucky to have one. Some counties don't even have a veteran service officer.
Could you explain the benefit of having that?
Veteran service officers are the ones where when you have a VA claim, you have all your paperwork together, you go in there and they do all the filing for you so that it goes to VA and you get your connection with your service-connected injuries or illnesses or whatever the case may be. Depending on your generation, you know, it could be a different array of things, like your these poor guys that are coming in from Vietnam and Korea that were around Agent Orange. Man, that's some horrible stuff, and that's where you get it filed at. So what we do, you come into our resource center, we've got our veteran advocates in there who help you get all that paperwork together, because it's not a matter of knowing what you need. Usually you know what you need. It's just you don't know how to go about it. What's the route or the trail that VA has developed that you got to wander down in order to get everything done? And usually it's a windy one. So you get your paperwork together, and the biggest benefit is a lot of veterans get, you know, dissatisfied with having to drive all over the place, and then they give up. Well, you come to Camp V, and you just go into the resource center, you get your paperwork together, you walk out of the resource center, go around the building, and you go into the veteran service officer building. You file your stuff, you're done.
And what? How does that compare to having to do that? Some of these men and women face doing it on their own.
Well, my personal experience back in the day before Camp V came along, you may get down there and find out you left a paper on your desk, or you're missing something, or it's an in-service day, they're in training today, or they're closed, or you may have a situation where you're just not in a city where there is a veteran service office. Perhaps you're not living in a rural area where it's close and convenient, so you end up driving 30, 45 minutes to a place just to find out they're closed that day, or they couldn't quite get everything done, or now you need to go to this doctor's office and pick this form up, or you need to go over to this office and pick up, and just basically doing that, you know, footwork. And our veteran advocates, they have ways of pulling all that off the web and getting it right there in the office for you, so that you don't have to go all over the place.
Is there a certain population size where most of these centers are located?
No, not really. It's Actually, I don't know what the determination is on that, because I've seen small towns have veteran service officers as well as big ones. You know, Harrison County over in Marshall, that's not a very big town, but they've got three service officers over there.
So it might depend on where there's more veterans located?
Yeah, and I think it might have to do with the county seat, because I know Marshall is the county seat over there. So, you know, Tyler being the same thing here in Smith County, you get more resources to your county seat.
Nonlinear question. Not about KMV, just real quick, but I'm curious. Is East Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Oklahoma, is that a big concentration of veterans?
Well, funny you ask that. As for the state, I can't tell you what the populations are, you know, in our four-corner state section, but the 14-county ETCOG area for East Texas is the second largest veteran population in the state of Texas. And we had the least amount of resources, which is why Susan Campbell and retired Colonel Jim Snow, our two co-founders, brought KMV into reality. We put all those resources under one roof so that, well, you didn't have to run all over the place. We've got Texas Workforce Solutions that have veteran-friendly employers. We've got Humana Insurance with your veteran discount insurance rates. We've got Andrews Center for Counseling with our Military Veteran Peer Network, as well as PTSD Counseling, MST, Military Sexual Trauma. All that takes place over in the Women's Center, which is another section of Camp V, a separate building that's dedicated solely to female veterans and the spouses of veterans.
That's great. So yeah. Is most of the sexual abuse you see in the military directed towards women?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, primarily that's what we run into, yes.
Do you find it any different than the percentages of regular society?
You know, I don't know. I just know that usually whenever you run into something like that, it's never good. And when it comes to the military side, there's that whole breakdown of that, what I call the camaraderie. You know, when something like that happens to somebody, you just got violated by a brother or sister, basically. You know what I mean? I hate putting it that way.
It makes it worse, yeah.
Yes,
it makes
it worse. It's worse because you're relying on that person no matter what the situation is, because it could be life or death, and all of a sudden something bad happens. So
you mentioned the 14 counties that make up your coverage area. I just want to list them off for the people. If they are in these counties and you need help, it's Raines, Camp, Wood, Upshur, Marion, Harrison, Gregg, Smith, Van Zandt, Henderson, Rusk, Panola, Cherokee, and Anderson.
That's correct.
So if you live in any of these places, Camp V can be a resource for you. Let's take it from that dark subject to kind of a fun subject that's going to happen in October. I'm good at that. So the air show.
Air show.
Rose City Air Fest.
That's right.
Let's talk about it.
Well, first of all, I'd like to point out that we are working with the city of Tyler. We have turned it into what we call basically a weekend of flight is what we've labeled it. And when you go to restaurants around town during the month or during the weekend of flight, which is October 2nd to the 6th, if you say you go to Wingstop, there's a discount on wings. Say it's a restaurant that has a special drink that's maybe called the Aviator or whatever. Oh, there's a discount on it. It's in sponsorship of the...
Tell me where those places are.
Any restaurants. Okay. If we're actually currently collecting these restaurants...
I just want to try an Aviator.
Yeah, really. Okay. It's like... And what we're doing right now is I don't even have a complete lineup. I wish I could spit out some of the stuff I got in my head, but until we confirm it. But it's going to get loud around Tyler, as it always does. We've got a wonderful show already put together. We're way ahead of schedule. I wish I could sit here and say, hey, if you're a vendor, please check us out. But we are sold out of vendor spots. We have 20 food vendors that are going to be out there this year.
That's a huge improvement, period.
Absolutely. We have turned it into a festival. It's going to go from 10 in the morning to 6 o'clock at night, and it's going to be an all-day event where you can come out with your family, have a great time getting into cotton candy, caramel corn, whatever, Mexican food, chicken sandwiches, you name it, it's out there. We've got a huge, diverse food selections for the vendors. And then sponsorships. We have a few spots left on our sponsorships. If you're looking to get in to the show and sponsor something, have a, you know, say an employee day out with your employees, show appreciation to them. We have those areas open. And like I said, October 5th, we moved it from the 4th of July weekend due to the fact that obviously it's hot. Last year it was 110 degrees. That was unbearable. So we moved it to a historically more climatized date, which October 5th historically has a high of 79, a low of 57. Pick either which way. It's going to be a good day either way. So you can't hurt or go wrong with that one.
For a sponsor to be, if they're interested in sponsoring, I'm going to let them call you at your phone number again one more time. It's 903-566-1010. That's 903-566-1010. Or you could go to the URL, campvtyler.org. And there'll be something there for the sponsors to.
Absolutely. Okay. They'll be directed to Trent. You can email Trent at www.tgoodwin. His name is Trent Goodwin. That's tgoodwin@campvtyler.org.
This is a big improvement for those of you in Tyler that have attended the air show in the past, because it usually when the air show comes, the way I know it's here is the noise, obviously. Yeah. It's fascinating to me how unbelievably powerful the military jets are, how the bigger ones, how you hear them miles and miles away.
Yep.
Thunderous. But it's always been hot. There's been a lack of vendors. You got to want to go out there to see the planes, you know, and I am on board with this. This seems very exciting for us to have something else to do out there and walk around with some food and in a more tepid climate.
And the first part of it from 10 to 3, they're going to shut down a section of the runway, and it's going to become the hot ramp, as we call it. That means that's where the planes are going to fire up their turbine engines and pull out to do the show. Well, before the show, you're going to be allowed to run around out there, meet the pilots, see the planes, touch the planes, check out everything that's going to be out there. And as a part of your entertainment, the Air Force is bringing some assets. They have their flight simulator for their F-22 and KC-10 refueler. That's going to be an awesome one. And that's one of those.
Wow. That's cool.
You get into that. I've personally done it. I got a little dizzy because of the optics. The reality of it is awesome. The kids absolutely love it. It's the, you know, virtual reality type setup.
Right.
And they can do like 8 people at a time. You're in your own individual chair. And
so also, like maybe a tractor trailer or something?
Yes, it's huge. It's very big.
Like we did with Driver's Ed.
Exactly. It's really nice to know that we're going to have that out there. We'll also have what's called the hangar, which is a kind of a maintenance overview of showing what the Air Force does with B-52s. It's only going to be used for like the landing gear, but that's one of those technical deals where you just see how they actually do it.
Congratulations.
And then the Army's coming through. If you've ever heard on the news about drone strikes, Predators, the Predator drone will be on display as well. The Army is bringing that. We'll have that sitting right there. We're not going to fly it. It's going to be right there for you to walk up and check out, look at, touch, see what these things are really all about, so you can get a reality view of how big they are, because they're about the size of 2 cars. They're not just like one of those little drones you buy in Walmart.
I'm aware. I'm actually getting excited, Mark. The difference between what you're describing in the past would be the difference, automotively speaking, between a Chevette and a Corvette.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's never been this large.
No. Yeah, historically, whenever you put on an air show, and this is kind of one of those learning curves we went through, it takes you a couple of years to get your brand out there, to get established. And this is our 4th show. We've got it down. We know what we're doing. We literally have had such a great outcry from literally all the sponsors and all the vendors, because now they know, hey, we're not just this show that showed up. They remember us from the years prior. Now, all of a sudden, when we say, hey, we're having our air show and we're changing the date to this, because that was one of the biggest concerns was the temperature. It was just really brutal. Well, as soon as we told them we changed the date to October 5th, we had people just ringing our phone to death. It was like, wow, we want to be part of this. We've had to turn people away. We've got a waiting list for our vendors because there's more vendors that want to be in it than we have space for. Is it, we have literally driven a little apology to the fire chief out there that does our coding. We have really, and I say that in jest, he's a great guy. He has literally made it to where, for safety reasons, he has maxed out our surface area that we can bring everything in. The city of Tyler's been very good about flexing.
Redirecting.
Yeah, and making sure that we're able to maximize the potential for that air show for the community benefit.
And I would, as an amateur photographer, I would say if you're looking for interesting subjects to photograph, that aircraft in photographs still on the ground are amazing things to take pictures of. And also, last year, I think I went last year or the year before. I think it was the year before. They had an F-16 there, mm-hmm. but it was guarded by... It's not the U.S. It's not our army, but it's, a private force. Are those decommissioned F-16s or...?
Actually, what it is, they're teams that are made up, and those will fall under sometimes the National Guard or Reserve, or just an actual team that's within their division, the Air Force. And their job every day is to run around doing shows. I mean, that's a wonderful job to have. They have to live out of a suitcase for a long time. I've actually heard the rigors of it. It sounds like being a professional athlete. It's real glamorous until you actually do it and you find out you live in a hotel all the time.
Correct.
So, yeah, it's really, really nice to have these assets that we've been able to acquire. And one other thing I want to make sure I put out there, a lot of people are unaware, even though when the time came, this is the 80th anniversary of D-Day. We will have an honoree there that, yeah, you had that look on your face.
Has anyone ever know? I mean, do we keep up with the number of them left? I mean, is it in the thousands now?
I don't even know. I just know it's very scarce because this guy is 99. We have another one that's 100, and I know of one out at Watkins Logan that's 101. So, yeah.
Well, they would have been like 20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly. And we're going to have the Liberty Jump Team, which does a reenactment of the jump into D-Day, into Normandy. So, the original planes... Original.
You're going to need every minute from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. to pull this off.
Pretty much.
Wow. Let's give that one more time. You guys should be a little bit excited about this. It's going to be the Rose City Air Fest. It's October 5th of this year at Tyler Pounds Field.
Yep.
It is 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. I'll be there. I'm just going to be there because I'm excited. I'm excited to have some refreshments and just it seemed small in the past. Not the subjects that flew in, but just like you said, the vendors, the sponsors, the booths, whatever. Mm-hmm. So,
and like anything, we had to learn. If you'd asked me 5 years ago and go, Mark, you're going to be helping plan air shows. I'm like, you must have been drinking something crazy, man.
Yeah, that's not your forte.
I have no idea what you're talking about. And due to the fact that I grew up going to air shows over at Barksdale Air Force Base with my dad, I always wondered what it took to put one together. And our executive director, Travis Gladhill, he used to be stationed at Barksdale Air Force Base. So it's really cool that he's able to bring his military experience of helping with air shows over there, because that's a huge air show. And then apply all that same knowledge and wisdom to the one we have and teach us what we needed to do. And now all of a sudden I love planning air shows. I mean, it's a logistics nightmare that's worth every moment of it. It's because there's
not for
a lot
you but
of
for the pilots.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, but now that we've got it down and we know, the biggest part of it is that this is our one huge fundraiser. And when I say fundraiser, all the profits that come in on this is 100% put back towards the veterans. We're one of the rare nonprofits that actually take every single penny and put it right back towards the veterans. Because the overhead that we have for Camp V, that's paid by a grant. That's separate.
Right, right.
So everything we bring in goes right back into direct assistance or programs, just like the jiu-jitsu program's doing well. We got Pilates, we got yoga in that new fitness center that we built. Everybody loves the fitness center. The last time I talked to you, it had just opened, and I believe, let's see what I got here. I had 200 and something people were utilizing it. Now it's well over 400.
Let's just talk very quickly about your increase in numbers.
Yeah.
It's fairly, unbelievable. It's not impressive. It's unbelievable. average clients per month that you helped in 2020 was a little under 400.
Yep.
2023, almost 2,600. That's an increase of 685%. The service appointments went from 279 to 11,304. That's an increase of 4,000%.
Mm-hmm.
These numbers, Paul Gleiser would elevate you to senior salesperson. assistance provided in 2020, 16,000. 2023, 110,117 people helped.
Dollars.
That is a 670% increase.
Yeah, that's the direct assistance that I'm referring to. That figure right there is extremely important.
Okay.
Because that first year, 2020, you know, we're coming out of COVID, mm-hmm. going into COVID, going out of COVID, da-di-da-di, whatever. And, well, we only put out direct assistance with $16,000 that year. And now we've literally averaged $110,000 putting out direct assistance to our veterans and in 2023. Now, 2024, those totals are not in, but we've already gone past all those. So we're up to over 600 people per month now serving our veterans.
Serving veterans. Okay. Mark, if we can, let's... we talked about the air show. We talked about a couple other things. Let's drill down for a minute about Camp V.
Okay.
About the mission, about the need. When was the Afghanistan war ended?
Oh, wow. Depends on who you talk to, I guess.
10 or...
It's been a while.
10, 12, something like that. But my question is this. So... Obviously, our military men and women that have served in combat.
Yes.
I mean, that's I interviewed one of my favorite interviews of the year has been I interviewed a Vietnam veteran who was the dog guy in Vietnam. They would take these guys out in deuce and a half and drop them 500 yards apart in foxholes with dogs to see the to find the enemy at night.
Oh, wow.
Dogs. Beautiful man. He to me epitomized everything of a veteran. You know what I mean? Like not actually that political, just proud of fighting for the country and all this stuff. It was an amazing interview. I say all this to ask you, do you see now that there hasn't been actual known combat? I don't know what's going on behind the scenes because I'm in radio sales, but actually known war. What do you see the differences? Are there pressures in the military without a war going on?
Well, my son being in the Army right now, they're hurting for people, actually. And as when it comes to, I guess, their readiness, that's kind of hurting as well because of the lack of people.
So it's kind of like post-Vietnam because we went through a period where the military expunged a lot of people. Like mm-hmm. just you went from being able to get drunk and beat someone up and get corrected for it to being discharged for it.
Yes. Right now, they're actually trying to keep people as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when it comes to, say, active war zones or theaters of operation, as we like to call it, they're still there. I mean, all you got to do is...
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, if the news, you know, those bases, they're still, men and women in uniform over in Iraq and Afghanistan manning those bases. We might have pulled out officially,
Well, the act of pulling out was pretty destructive to the people involved, I would imagine.
It sure was. And now we've still got posts over there that you hear about. They come under attack daily, you know, rocket attack, mortar attack. So it's not like it all of a sudden somebody flipped a switch and, oh, we're not there anymore, you know. No, we're working with NATO forces, and that's kind of, depending on what country is in there, what their dedication or what their, you know, their, I'll say, goal is. I've yet to figure out really what the goal at this point is after we've been there for 20 years and they still don't get it. So
I'm not sure your mind knows any different between a declared combat and a non-declared combat when you're in a firefight.
Yeah.
You know, it's still going to be very tough to take. And ask you a question. And this is a tough question, Mark, because I'm asking you to kind of generalize. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to do with this because obviously our veterans are affected millions of different ways.
Yes.
Everybody, every single person processes trauma differently.
That is correct.
But is there like a few central things that you see a lot of the vets struggling with more than others?
Transition. Transition being the biggest one. Coming out of a structured, you know, I'll say everyday lifestyle where you know exactly what you're going to be doing today. You know exactly who you're going to be working with. You know exactly how that other person will be working with you based on the doctrine and policies and regulations that govern you. Then all of a sudden, you've done that for 20 years or maybe 10 years or maybe just six. Who knows? Either way, when you step out, you lose that camaraderie. You lose that structured, oh, I'm going to do this, this, and that. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself in the civilian workforce, and you find out, well, a lot of civilian workplaces, you got to watch out for HR. You got to watch out for this. You can't say these particular terms or words, and it's just a whole.
Military's not like that.
No, they're not.
Okay.
I mean, they are to a degree. You can't be profane and, you know, down and dirty. But we've always been told we have dark humor in the military, and we do. It's just part of the news department.
Yeah. When you see bad things consistently, it's a coping mechanism.
Exactly. And, you know, I make jokes about how here I am older. I said, but I could still put a 99-pound missile on my shoulder and walk it out to my Apache helicopter when I was a Apache helicopter mechanic and throw it on the rail for it to fly. And people are like, you used to put a missile on your shoulder and walk it out? Yeah. Like, it's either that or carry the whole thing out there. It's easier to just throw it up on my shoulder and tell the other guy to go grab the other one and we'll walk it out there and put them on, you know, and you lock them in and tell the pilot you're good to go and we're ready to go. So no big deal. It's
now you can't do that with,
no, it won't go off.
Okay. I'm just asking. I'm not there. Yeah. Okay.
But I'm not going to,
it's pretty,
drop it goes off.
Our former president had a pretty badass moment here recently, but that's up there carrying a missile on your back to the helicopter.
Well, yeah, and they weigh 99 pounds. Back when you're young and, you know, strapping, we just throw it up on our shoulder walking around the aircraft, and of course you have somebody grab the other side and slide it on, and you're good to go. Just lock the little lever down, make sure it's in the right position, and knock on the fuselage, tell the pilot, give them their salute, and let them go.
So I'm interviewing Camp V's version of Chuck Norris. His name is Mark Shaw. He's the engagement manager of Camp V Tyler. Their number is 903-566-1010. The URL is campvtyler.org for your donations and anything you are interested in finding out about them. Do not forget the Rose City Air Fest. It's October 5th of this year. It's at Tyler Pounds Field. It's from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. From what I'm just going to go ahead and put a number out there. There's dozens of vendors, dozens of sponsors, plenty of aircraft, plenty of room to walk around. If you've been to the air show in the past, go ahead and dismiss that out of your head. This is going to be a different animal, I can tell by talking to Mark.
Let me just throw this out there as well. If you came to last year's show, forget about that area.
Okay.
That area was the other side of the airport while they were repairing the runway. And, well, we're back to the original side. So if you went to the other two shows prior to that, we have what we call our original footprint right there by the HAM, the Historical Aviation Memorial Museum. And there will be plenty of room, plenty of places for you to be.
All right, Mark, thank you for joining us. Thank you, have a great day, buddy.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.